Welcome to the Basilea Hollywood Podcast, a community of friends committed to the message and practice of Jesus and His kingdom.
God, thank you just for Troy and what he has prepared for us today. Bless him. Yeah, amen.
Amen. It's hard to follow something so bitter and so bittersweet as the Mathises moving. You know, we will. And, you know, Mathises, you have been a pillar in this community. And, we're going to miss you. And we trust Jesus with you. We trust that he's going ahead of you, like was said, to carve out space for you in Chico. And that as you guys just be who you are, just be yourselves. I mean, you guys just create space for others to grow. That's what we've received from you here. Yeah. So we love you, and come back sometime. Say hi, if you can. Maybe Basilea could even foot the bill. Just verbally processing. So if you've been with us for the past couple weeks, we've hit the pause button on the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to pick that back up again as Easter approaches, so 2017, because where we ended was essentially the beginning of Jesus's passion. So we're going to pick that up next year and finish it. And right now, we're going through the seven I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We asked a handful of you, what do you think about the teaching? We got a lot of feedback, a lot of comments, and one thing was, we'd love to hear you teach about the character of God, who God is. And so that's why we're doing these seven I am statements. These are seven statements where Jesus is proclaiming who he is. And today we're going to be talking about Jesus as he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Okay? Is anybody feeling saucy and maybe would like to read our text for today? A saucy read? All right, I'm going to volunteer somebody. Eric, is that okay? You could say no. You could tell. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be just up here. So Eric's going to read our text for today.
Yeah, bear with me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you so long, I have been among you for such a long time, Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the work. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
It's kind of a weak clap. You know, which is okay, but I kind of feel in life, like, if you're going to do something, like, just go for it, you know? And great sauce, by the way. Thank you. I felt the sauce. So today we're talking about trusting Jesus. We're talking about trusting Jesus because he is the way to God. Jesus alone is the way to God, and we can trust him. Now, why does it matter? I think it matters for three reasons. Number one, it means that we can trust Jesus with our eternal destiny. You know, my grandma Thelma died this week. And she was in her 90s. She had a long life. Her body, as our bodies do as they age, really just deteriorated. And so she died in her hospital bed, very drugged, so as to take away any pain. And I did get to see her a few weeks back. She was the meds made her very sleepy. She mostly slept. She was lucid for a little while. My mom and I got to talk to her and listen to her. And I was with our friend Jerry, and I got a call this last week from my dad saying that Thelma had passed, and it was nice to be with a friend to just process that with. I'm still processing. Still kind of in shock, to be honest. And what really kind of was like an extra crappy sort of hurt thing for me was that I had penciled in my calendar for this upcoming Wednesday. That was going to be the day that I was going to drive to Orange County. And for me in my heart, that was going to be like the final goodbye. And I didn't get that chance. And it sucks. But the good news is that before she died, she knew where she was going. She knew that Jesus had gone ahead of her to carve out a space for her in her Father's house. So, yes, she died. And it's sad, and yet there's this incredible thing that God has done in Jesus where because she trusted and relied on Jesus for her eternal life, Jesus has taken her to the Father. And right now, she's in the presence of our Heavenly Father. So we can trust Jesus with our eternal destiny. Secondly, we can trust Jesus to show us who God is. And I sometimes think of Jesus as like the lens by which we are called to see and interpret who God the Father is. And this is really important because this idea of God as Father is weird to me. Because what I naturally do, probably a lot of us do, is maybe without even thinking about it, we project our earthly dads onto our heavenly dad. And I'm sure even just in this room, there's a wide spectrum of the kind of dads that we have or have had. Some probably more disappointing than others. And so the temptation is to sort of fill in the blanks with who God the Father is and what he's like because of how I experienced my dad. And Jesus, as he is the lens of the Father, reveals to us, he shows us what he actually means or what it means for us to address God as our heavenly Father. And so in the next slide, we see Jesus on the cross, crucified, dying for our sins. And on the cross, Jesus reveals what God is like. God is self-giving love. He is not against us, he is for us. On the cross, Jesus absorbed all of our pain, all of our disappointment, all of our hurt, all of our sin, all of our fracturedness, all of our disconnection, all of our pain, all of our longing, all of our suffering, even our death. And that's why in the new world, when Jesus returns and fully and finally establishes the kingdom of heaven on earth, when heaven and earth merge, there will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering or death. Now that's something to be excited about. The beginning of God's new world. Yeah. So in Jesus, we see that God is compassionate and he is for us, not against us. He's not mean. He's not just a mean, kids are upstairs, right? He's not just a mean asshole looking to punish us. He's for us. You know, there was a time where I believed, you know, speaking of sort of projecting our earthly fathers onto our heavenly Father, there was a time when I believed that I was worthless and that I was basically I had the same value as garbage. And what do you do with garbage? What do you do with trash? You put it in the trash. You put it away. And for me, that was, I would say, the culmination of me projecting whatever is not God onto God. But Jesus showed me different. For example, I was in a really low spot, feeling worthless. I was feeling stuck, so I asked some friends to pray for me. They came over to my house. They invited the Holy Spirit to come. And as I'm sitting there, sort of half expecting something to happen, a memory from when I was a kid came to mind. And in the memory, I was playing the drums. And if you don't know, I love the drums. The drums are my favorite instrument to play. They're so loud. Okay? And I love it. So I had some family over, and this was like at the beginning of me playing the drums and learning how to play songs, right? Because that's when it gets really fun. Family came over. I basically performed for them. I was like, I'm so excited about this. And I played through a Metallica song. And the response was no response. It was like, So that left me as a kid filling in the blanks. I felt rejected. I felt misunderstood. I felt shitty. And that memory came up, and I'm like, guys, this memory came up. I have no idea why. And they said, okay, well, let's just invite Jesus into that memory. So we did. I closed my eyes. The memory came back to mind, and I could actually see Jesus in the memory. He's sitting there next to my family. And as I start playing, Jesus starts to stand up, starts to lift his hands in the air, and starts to cheer for me. And now, what didn't happen, or what hasn't happened, Jesus, he didn't erase that memory from my mind, but what he did is he healed it, he transformed it, so that the memory's still there, but it doesn't have that, like, prick. It doesn't have the pain that it used to have. So Jesus showed me that I wasn't worthless and that he loves me. This is what Jesus does. This is the heart of our Heavenly Father. He loves you. So we can trust Jesus to show us who God really is. And third, this matters because we can trust Jesus to help us live lives that show others who God is. Right? We have a mission. We're born, we live, and we die. That's like the shortest summation of life that I've come up with. I like it. And so if for me it's like, well, what, and if life is so short, like what are we supposed to be doing between now and either Jesus coming back or when I die? Like, what's the point? What's the purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be putting my time and my energy into? It turns out, according to the Gospels, that Jesus actually has stuff for us to do. Yeah. It's really amazing. And that is to live lives that show who the Father is as we follow Jesus, we do what he says, and we act like him. We get to reflect God through what we say and do. And doing what we say is actually a big part of that. Now Jesus, you know, if you read through the Gospel of John, you might be asking the question, you know, well, what did Jesus do? I think most of us probably know. But things like he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he spoke the truth, he did what he saw the Father doing. That's what we're called to. This is good news. This is not boring. I can tell you that. Sometimes it's hard, but it's not boring. So how do we do this? How do we trust Jesus? What does this look like? What does this mean practically? I mean, is this just like, do I do this? Is this how I trust Jesus? Like, do I will it? Is that what we're supposed to do? Yeah. Do I just grunt until I feel something? You know, how do we do this? I think there are some practical things that we can do to cultivate our trust in Jesus Christ. First, we can practice silence and solitude. You read that the Gospels, Jesus is always going to the lonely places. Everybody wants a piece of him. Everybody wants some. Could you imagine, like, everybody wants something from you? I'd probably give into that. Like, yeah, feels good. But Jesus doesn't do that. He goes to the lonely places. Now, it doesn't say in a prescriptive way. It doesn't say what he did, I don't think. I think we can make some good guesses. He probably recited scripture. He probably talked to his heavenly father. He probably listened to his heavenly father. And he cultivated that. You know, he says in John 5, I only do what I see my father doing. I've been reading and meditating on Revelation chapter 5 in the Bible. It's the last book of the Bible, if you don't know. And there's this picture that's been really, really changing my outlook on life. There's this scene where Jesus, who looks like a lamb that has been slain, is in the middle. He's in the center, and he's surrounded by elders and maybe some other strange creatures that I've never seen. And they fall down and they worship him. So I've been meditating on this. I've just been reading it through. God, speak to me. Show me what you want to show me. What do you want me to know? And I've been doing that for a while, cultivating a rhythm. And it's been helping me to see and to know something really important. I'm not the center of the universe. Jesus is. And it's important because everybody else in the world is going to tell you that it's about you. What's in it for me? How can I improve myself? How can I make all my dreams come true? How can everything that I do satisfy me? Now, I'm not preaching Gnosticism, which would say the body is bad, our desires are bad, we need to, you know, whip ourselves and abstain from food and all sorts of, you know, stuff like that. I believe that God created us as whole beings, right? As physical beings with a soul and a spirit, or you might, you know, a soul and a body, but however you parse it, it's all one, okay? It's all integrated. So Jesus has been doing a radical reorienting in my heart that changes the way that I see the world and the choices that I make. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but what I am saying is that the reset button for me is that life is about Jesus and not about me. Because when I live my life, when it's about me, the blinders go on. Oh, someone's over here. They need help. The Father's doing something. Well, I can't see that. I'm only seeing myself and what's going on with me. It's really important that we cultivate silence and solitude, which is so hard because my phone is pretty much connected to my hand. How do I turn it off? Yeah, we can't, right? You know, another thing before I move on that I would say about the benefit of silence and solitude is that it actually creates, we're giving ourselves space to feel the way we feel, to hear the thoughts that we're thinking. And that is radically important because that allows us to have an honest relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, it's just kind of going through the motions like, yeah, I'm supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm supposed to feel like X, Y, and Z, but we kind of miss this thing at a gut level. A second thing we can do to cultivate trust in Jesus is to practice vulnerability. Now, that can be scary. How many of you have been hurt in the midst of being vulnerable. You trusted someone every day. Yeah, it can be scary. We're human beings, we're flawed, we do hurt one another. But God created us to be what we would call not codependent, like I'm not okay unless you're okay sort of thing, but he calls us to be in community, to be interdependent. Essentially, our job as community is to point one another to Jesus. Like what if we just asked each other, and I think, you know, some of us do this already, but like, what if all of us checked in, asked each other, well, what's the Lord saying to you? Yes. What if that was like an okay question?
Yeah, instead of why are you homeless?
Yeah.
Yeah, asking that one.
Yeah, because Jesus speaks. Yeah. You know, there was a time when I was experiencing clinical depression and anxiety, and God was not acting the way I thought he should, and I had no hope. My trust was completely threadbare. He was gone. It's like, God, I don't know what to do anymore. I thought I knew who you were, but now I don't even know if you're real. So whatever this thing is, like, I'm done. A few months down the road, Jesus changed that. Wow. A friend was praying for me, and he didn't say anything at all for like 3 minutes. And I can sit in silence for a long time, but I started to feel a little uncomfortable. But then what happened next was miraculous. The best way I can say it is it felt like Jesus reached his hands into my innermost being, like into my gut, and he gave me a prayer to pray when I didn't have one. And it was a really simple prayer. It was, Jesus, I trust you. And I knew that this was coming from outside of me because I didn't have that. And I didn't even want that, to be honest. Jesus reached in and gave me a starting point to move back towards trusting him. And that happened in the context of somebody else praying for me. So when we're stuck, when we need help, ask for help. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Ask for prayer. We've got to be real with each other if we're going to grow. Let's stand. Let's just open our hands again. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you to show us the Father. You might be here today and you might need assurance for what happens to you after death. You might need assurance that Jesus is faithful and strong enough to take you to his Father's house, and that you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid of dying. You might be here and you don't trust God. You feel like you thought you knew him, but maybe you don't now. And you're confused, you're disoriented. And you may not know what to do, where to go, how to like move forward. And you need Jesus to reveal the Father to you. Or you might be here and you're feeling like, you know, I just need help to live like Jesus, to live in a way that reveals the Father. Jesus said he would help. He promised that he would help by his Holy Spirit. And I need that. I need Jesus. We're actually going to do ministry time a little different today. And what I mean is, as we're in the midst of asking these questions and being open to Jesus and whatever he's doing in you right now, we're going to take communion. We're going to take the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we are receiving God's love in Jesus. And we're also asking Jesus, show me the Father. So as we take the Eucharist today, ask Jesus to show you the Father. So Jill and I are going to be up here. You just go ahead and take a cracker and then dip it in the grape juice. So whenever you're ready, come.